are listening to Fast Track Podcast, the place to be to fast track your personal finance or fast track your business or both. Through a series of conversations with those who have learned it, done it, and made it. Before starting the episode, I have very exciting news to share with you. I am collaborating with financial imagineer Matthias Richter to launch the Fast Track Money course. This 6-week online course is designed to help young professionals in their 20s to early 40s to learn how to save more, earn more, and invest, using money as a tool to fulfill your dreams. We teach you the proven method that Matthias has been using himself in the last 20 years and achieved financial independence. So sign up today on fasttrack.life/moneycourse to transform your relationship with money from today. Today, my guest is Alexandre Loris, and since a young age, he was always fond of math, computers, and economics as an avid self-learner. So when he found Bitcoin 5 years ago, he was hooked and has been studying crypto markets ever since. So earlier last year, he founded his crypto news website and blog called thelatestblock.com and is the director of blockchain market research at Quantum Economics. And around the same time, he also became a full-time entrepreneur and created educational and news content on cryptocurrency across social media on Twitter, Medium, and YouTube. There's no better person that I should interview other than Alexandre to ask about everything about cryptocurrency and investment. So let's hear about it. And welcome to Fast Track Podcast, Alexandre.
Hi, Yasi. Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here. And I really appreciate it. And I love what you do. Amazing introduction. I'm honored. I also want to say one thing that I'm passionate about is freedom, and financial freedom is an important part of that. So thank you for what you do. It's so important that you put out this message and these tools that people can use to improve their financial condition, increase their financial freedom, which is the goal that attracted me to Bitcoin and what also attracted me to create content, be an analyst, and enter the industry professionally so I could help as many people as possible to achieve that in these interesting, shall we say, financial times.
Yeah. And can you tell us a little bit more about, your background and what happened, lead you to Bitcoin and all everything that started from there?
Thank you. So I had a number of different jobs in educational area, volunteer activities. So I spent a good amount of time doing tutoring and educational side. And then the pandemic hit and my life was kind of, I was living in New York, life kind of flipped upside down. I was unemployed. And my wife and I decided to move down to Florida and start over. And I did get a job, interestingly enough, in the energy sector, which is kind of, adjacent to Bitcoin in some ways due to mining, which we'll talk about in a moment. But moved down to Florida, kind of restarted and decided to do this professionally. Skipped ahead a bit. I found Bitcoin in 2017. A friend told me about it in New York. And first I was like, oh, wow. I was into stocks and so on. I'm like, this could be, fast money. But then the more I learned about it, the more I became interested in the technology and how that could change the world. And also, how you could interact as part of the community. And that fascinated me.
Yeah. So which part of the, the decentralized technology, ledger technology, or which part of the Bitcoin that fascinates you the most in particular? Because, a lot of people talk about the community and then, the democracy, but is there anything in particular that you can relate to it?
Well, I'm a math geek and also an economics geek as well. So the concept of money, finance and computers combining into one was kind of fascinating to me. Comedian who was actually making fun of Bitcoin, made a comment though that, it's everything you don't understand about computers plus everything you don't understand about money. But I kind of flipped that around and be like, okay, you can make this understandable. And it's fascinating technology that brings, modern computer technology, the internet, digitization with economics, with money, with finance. And it's an innovation that can change the world. And I wouldn't go so far as to, you know, there's certain Bitcoiners that are extremely passionate and consider it's going to change philosophy and religion and all this stuff. I mean, that I think that's a bit extreme, but I would say that it's an innovation that can improve the world. And I think the best, most important innovations improve the world step by step in a mild evolution, not so much a revolution, which could get violent or upheaval. I like the whole idea of a improvement.
Yeah. And from Bitcoin, then have you invested in other projects, other cryptocurrencies? And how do you, you know, how do you select in what cryptocurrency you want to invest?
It's a great question. And I'll make a quick comment just for those listening. My financial situation is not the same as yours necessarily. So I'm not a financial advisor, but I will say that everybody can get a pretty good idea of what risk they're willing to take and what is their strategy. And I think they should develop a strategy before they start. So in my case, I was in a situation with very little capital. So my goal was to, with, you know, somewhat conservatively, but aggressively grow that capital. So still the majority of my net worth is in cryptocurrency, and the majority of that is Bitcoin. But I'd say a little over 50% is in Bitcoin. Traditionally, you know, the portfolio of a money manager, you know, they suggest 60% stocks, 40% bonds or something, right? So it's a bit like 60% Bitcoin, 40% riskier other cryptocurrencies, altcoins, as we call them, alternative coins that are other cryptocurrencies than Bitcoin. Bitcoin's larger, more value, so its growth is going to be slower and its volatility a little bit less than a newer cryptocurrency. I usually don't go too heavily into the riskier ones. I do hold a good amount of Ethereum. And I hold also a kind of cryptocurrency called stable coins, which are, in my case, tied to the US dollar. They can also be tied to the euro, Canadian dollar, Australian dollar, yen, et cetera. And they hold value generally if they're put together properly with a national currency. So if you're interested in, you know, it has a number of purposes. First of all, there's venues where you can get more interest than you can in a bank account, decentralized finance, places where you can put your, you can even hold US dollar coin, a stable coin. It doesn't move up and down in price, but there's places you can get 5, 10, 15% interest on that coin, holding it there. So that's better than you can in the United States and Canada and Western Europe in a bank account where you'll get, you know, 1% interest or something.
Yeah. So one question on that on behalf of the audience, some people might ask, you know, the stable coin is packed. Is it packed against USD or is there any risk or how would they have this confidence in this stable coin is one equals to one USD?
That's a great question. And a point I want to make for this and other subjects is you need to do your own research. And I create a lot of content on my website, latestblock.com, where I try to break that down for people. So I would like to ask you to subscribe there, just latestblock.com/subscribe. But there's some like US dollar coin has undergone an audit where they've shown that their bank account has dollars to match, which is why they maintain that. There's others that, you know, a bit looser, US dollar tether. It's a very popular one, still the most popular one. US dollar coin, I think, is catching up, but they were one of the original ones that were popular with crypto traders. So you could buy and sell using Tether so you could measure your gains in dollars. They found at certain times they weren't actually backed. So it was pretty much the market decided that it was worth a dollar and it was stable. There's others, like there's one called DAI, D-A-I, which is they call an algorithmic stable coin, which is a lot more complex where they essentially have another cryptocurrency that's attached to it. So these two cryptocurrencies, the other one is not a stable coin, but they create or destroy it based on how many stable coins there are. So its value is essentially actually kept stable by a volatile cryptocurrency in a ratio in it. So that works as long as it works. That one particularly has done well and has always been very stable and a popular one. There's been some others that were supposed to be stable coins that crashed. A very famous one was called Titan that unfortunately Mark Cuban, a well-known entrepreneur, invested in and promoted, and it actually went to essentially to nothing. And then last week there was another stablecoin. I forgot it collapsed. So there's various situations there. Innovators in the space are trying to improve it. There's a stablecoin called UST, which was created by a cryptocurrency project called Luna or Terra. They have a cryptocurrency called Terra, and they actually are buying Bitcoin to back their stablecoin. So they actually bought $1.5 billion of Bitcoin. So there's various solutions to that, but I would say the safest and least risky would be US dollar coin, because they have evidence that they have dollars in a bank account in the US. They've been invested in by major US corporations, Coinbase, by one of the major investment banks. I believe it's Morgan Stanley, and recently BlackRock is actually endorsing it, and Visa and MasterCard have been testing it. So that's kind of the more regulated, you know, kind of on the safer end. With stable coins, you don't have much to gain. You know, it's not like some risky cryptocurrency that can go up 1,000%. It's going to stay at dollar. So you have lots to lose if it's not really stable, and you have really nothing to gain. So I go with US dollar coin is my favorite because it's a safer one. I've used DAI as well because it's been there for years. And it is backed by a cryptocurrency that they can destroy or add to keep the thing stable. So over time, those two have been the most stable. Also in the United States on Coinbase, which is the main place where people buy crypto, you can actually sell it for a dollar no matter what. If the market crashes, they pledge you will always be able to sell it there for a dollar. And you can always buy it for a dollar with no fees. So it's pretty much backed by a multi-billion dollar company and invested in by massive corporations that are regulated. So US dollar coin, I would say, is probably the safest at this point.
Yeah. And later I will ask you about the staking, but coming back to your investment, right? You mentioned about Bitcoin, Ethereum, and then how do you select this volatile or risky coins to invest? What kind of a process you usually take to in your analysis?
Yeah, it's a great question. I would say I still like to keep, I'm not super risky because there's up markets and down markets. One goal I have is to hold Bitcoin, you know, and build generational wealth. So I see that as more of like a 10, 20 year process than timing the market. So whenever I get a chance, I try to buy more Bitcoin. The other coins, Ethereum is pretty stable. I don't think that's going anywhere. Past that, I think the strategy is to kind of buy low and sell high. And I see it more as a trading thing. So when the market's down, I try to evaluate some that I think have potential and hope to, you know, buy them cheaply and sell them expensively. There's also other projects I like that are like decentralized finance, like Cake, which is connected to PancakeSwap, that give yield. So some of the projects I like to hold because they give yield. And I've kind of more see that as speculating and kind of really gambling. Whereas I see kind of holding Bitcoin and Ethereum for the next 10, 20 years is more of a, you know, kind of more certain play to grow wealth. And I think we're still early as regards to global adoption. So I think it's hard to go wrong with those.
Yeah. So earlier you mentioned staking and also you mentioned yield. So the next question would be, you know, can you give us a short introduction in simple language? Or different sure. kinds of ways to earn passive income or active income with cryptocurrencies.
Great. So the concept of your money working for you isn't new. It's just difficult. In the current banking sector, the money really works for the bank. So decentralized finance created a lot of tools to do that. And there's also companies like Nexo, which is in Europe, Celsius, that have created passive income or you know income investment opportunities. That are centralized companies, but they offer simply you put your money in there, but instead of like a bank, you get 6% interest, you know, maybe less for crypto, but for stable coins, usually it's 6 to 8% interest. If you're actually in the US, they've pretty much shut those down. If you're around the world, you still have that available to you. Those are technically centralized finance because they're companies. Then you have decentralized finance, which is a riskier model, but which has a lot of potential because you know, the chances of getting greater returns are there. And anything investing, your risk and return go together. There's no sure thing. I'm not the world's greatest expert on that, but essentially the concept is you you stick your crypto, it could be on your wallet or on a website, which it's a little bit safer if it's on your wallet, like a MetaMask or a hardware wallet, if you can, like a Trezor or Ledger, hardware wallets. And you get paid. And if you lock your crypto there for longer, you're giving that ecosystem liquidity, essentially like a bank would be, and you're enabling them to operate and people to trade on it and do various things. So the generally there's different options. The longer you lock, the more higher your interest rate would be.
And that is the staking, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then there's other things you could do that get even more complex called yield farming, where you're basically also providing liquidity, but if the price of the coin goes too far up, you actually can lose some coins. So it gets a bit more complex and risky, but staking is the most simple way. And it's a bit more certain, you're expected to return. Now, DeFi is still in a very new state. There's over $1 billion hacked last year. So I would not recommend putting your life savings in there. Anything you make in there, I would recommend putting it in there and taking out your original investment as soon as possible, especially some of the more, and there's some really risky ones that give you like thousands of percent interest that, you know, become less over time. But I would recommend getting your original investment out as quickly as possible, and then only really seeing that as speculation, like money that you could grow by 100 times and it could also go to zero. If you're okay with that, that's a good place to put your money, right? Same for NFTs. Some people try to buy NFTs at the beginning and sell them high. I mean, I think it's a very risky market with a bit of a bubble. And I think some people make a lot of money. I think 99% of people trying to do that will lose money in NFTs. Decentralized finance is a bit more, you have some options that are a bit more stable as long as it doesn't get hacked with stable coins. And you can put like, you have options to take your Bitcoin and put it into a different platform. Basically use your Bitcoin to create another asset, which is based on your Bitcoin. And then you make interest on that asset. So there's ways of doing it that are not as risky. I think NFTs, at least in terms of buying and selling JPEGs, is probably the riskiest thing you could do. And then most people will lose money in that.
Yeah. And so can you also tell us a little bit about mining? Because at the beginning, when Bitcoin started to become popular, right, everybody knows, oh, I need to mine Bitcoin, mine. So nowadays people talk about staking. Just give us, our audience, a basic introduction. Like, what is the difference? Why they are mining and they are staking?
So Bitcoin mining is a process of not really mining. Your computers are actually verifying transactions on the network and providing a service, security, and essentially being the kind of traffic cop for the network. You get rewarded in essentially Bitcoin. Now, due to the size of the network, it does provide a lot of security, but it's pretty much unrealistic to do mining in a profitable way unless you're either have a very unique situation where your electricity is almost free, which doesn't really exist in Europe right now. It does exist, or you have a massive facility, like you're able to put in millions of dollars into it and you know, mine, maybe like if you have a connection to a wind farm, a solar farm, you know, natural gas, oil, you know, if you're right there. So Texas is a very place in the United States to do mining. China was until they banned it. So a lot of the, if you have immediate access to a hydroelectric plant. So it's very complex at this point. 10 years ago, you could mine Bitcoin from your laptop. That's no longer the case. They have high powered computer chips called ASICs. But essentially, you know, you would have a facility, you would actually join a pool that would kind of increase your odds, and you would get paid in Bitcoin. So before electricity prices essentially doubled this year, in last year, I think it was very profitable. There's still ways to make it profitable, but it's very hard. It's not really something you could do as an average person mining Bitcoin. There's some smaller cryptocurrencies that you probably could, possibly could, and do, you know, if you have a reasonable electricity rate, at least in the United States, maybe about 20%, 30% of the United States has kind of electricity rate. Or if you're somehow renting somewhere and the owner is okay with you mining and they pay the electricity bill. Otherwise, it's difficult and it takes a lot of initial investment. If you've put in millions and you've been mining for years, I mean, it's a fantastic investment. You're essentially, your only cost is Bitcoin minus the cost of electricity. So if you've been mining, you're doing fantastic. It's very difficult to get into mining Bitcoin, which is probably another reason why a lot of people that were maybe mining Bitcoin in their laptop are excited about going to smaller cryptocurrencies and being kind of a bigger fish in the pond. So there's a lot of opportunities out there and some extremely risky things that I wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole, but others may want to and experiment with it to see if it makes them money.
Yeah, well, now it's getting harder and harder to mine Bitcoin and be profitable, right? So on the other hand, the staking, can you say like anyone can stake from their home computer?
Yeah, I mean, staking is something you could even do from your phone if you have an internet connection. Staking doesn't use your computer's power. Essentially, it works just like a bank account where you just put your money there. You deposit it essentially with some differences, but you essentially deposit it. You can even, as long as you have your account, your login info, your address, your wallet address, you essentially don't need to stay connected. Your money's there. The network utilizes it. So you get rewarded for your money. Put your money to work. It's essentially like a bank, except it's decentralized. So instead of a central institution taking 99% of the profit and you getting almost nothing, you get a fair share.
Yeah. And also the network kind of decides what's the ROI, not the bank decides the ROI.
That's right. Yeah. Depending on how many users there are. And how much gets used, right? How much of your currency gets used? So
usually what's the range of, let's say, common APY can someone expect when they stake a token?
If anything I would touch, I would be extremely happy with things from, anywhere above 5% to around 100%, which I would consider more risky. I have definitely learned about options that oftentimes when a new cryptocurrency is launching, they reward the first investors, like in anything, if you get in first. So there's some that have ROI starting at 100,000% or something. I wouldn't consider that an investment. I would consider that extremely risky. So I wouldn't be comfortable with that. I generally, when anything hits above 100%, 200%, I start to deem it so risky that I would, even if I made the money, I would feel bad because the people coming after me are going to get kind of scammed. Mm. So
yeah,
I'm not saying they're all scams. I'm saying that I personally don't feel comfortable with anything above 100, 200%. I would still research it. But again, I might be missing out on some opportunities. When I get around to researching it, I look forward to doing that. Yeah. But I prefer a model that's a more kind of has long-term value and worth, and simply, I think anyone can now put together with technology some coin that offers massive rewards that is unsustainable.
Yeah.
And why, only rewards early investors with no actual value.
Yeah. Why I asked you this question is just to let the audience know what's the expected ROI, with the staking, as you mentioned, maybe above 5% up to 100%. And even in Switzerland, the bank's interest rate is negative or zero. If you put a lot of money, not a lot, maybe 200K or something in the bank in Switzerland, you get negative interest rate. On the other hand, you can stake like stable coin, right? Get, I don't know how many percent, like 7% or something like that per year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very happy with Bitcoin and Ethereum. Unfortunately, their services are closing to new deposits, but depending on how much you have, if you have a small amount, you can usually get about 5-6% interest on Ethereum and Bitcoin. If you have a larger amount, they'll usually, you're limited to like 1% for the larger amounts if you're really like a whale. And stablecoins, 8-10%. I saw one platform which just kind of launched that's actually decentralized in the US. It's offering 16%. So I'm going to check it out, but look, if you're making 5-10%, at least you're keeping up with inflation at this point. If you're making less, you're actually, at least for a stable coin, you're losing value. Inflation in the US is at 8.5%.
Right now. Oh my God.
Yeah. In Europe, it's getting up to 5-6%, which is highest in 30-40 years in both places. So you're looking at
what they call real inflation. You know, if you're making 1% interest, you're losing 7%. Your $100 is turning into $92. That's mm-hmm. a lot. When inflation is around 1%, 2%, it doesn't really impact you because you generally get 1%, 2% raise at a job, or you can generally keep up with it. Right now, that situation has become out of control.
Yeah. I think for the audience, maybe, you might just start to consider, if you are interested in cryptocurrency, study it. And also if you are interested in earning passive income or kind of, hedge against inflation, maybe stablecoin is an option, right? Now, again, here it's not a financial advice, do your own research. And I would ask you, about your platform, like the latest blog.com, because I think then my audience could find a lot of useful information there. Could you tell us a little bit more about, what do you write, and then what's the main topics you cover?
Thank you so much. And you made a great point. I did write an article about, beginning investors. And I think beginning investors, I wouldn't do much more than buy some Bitcoin or Ethereum and just sit on it for 6 months and see how you feel. When it goes up 30%, it's great. But when it goes down 30% or more, how can you handle it? It's different for everybody. And if you can't handle it, that at least you don't go invest in 37 things and stake and then it crashes 50% and you have a panic attack. We don't want that. So stablecoins are a great option, especially if you're starting or if you are trying to preserve capital. If you've grown a lot of people that make a lot of money in crypto and trading, they're smart. If they move it over into stablecoins, that kind of, for one, they have taxes to pay on their gains and they want to keep kind of preserving it and growing it at a more conservative pace, more moderate pace, they have stablecoins and get 10% interest. So as opposed to, crypto that could triple and then you could lose value again in a month. It's a good way to kind of preserve a percentage of it and kind of capture gains. And yeah, like you said, you can experience the benefits of crypto, sending it, receiving it and without the volatility with stable coins.
Yeah. Back to I'm on your website, the latest blog, then you have Bitcoin, you have stocks, you have personal finance, you have crypto, NFTs, and Learn. I think it's a great platform to anyone who wants to, get started with crypto investment. I want to find out more. So my last question would be, where can people find you? Where can they follow you? How can they reach out to you if they have questions or if they want to reach out?
Thank you. I would say the first thing is, aside from buying some Bitcoin, you need to learn. You need to read a lot. So I try to take a bunch of knowledge and put it in a small little packet. So it takes you a couple minutes to read, not, 10 hours. Latestblock.com/subscribe is a great way to sign up for the newsletter. You get a weekly piece. It's usually educational in nature. You can also find me on Twitter. There's the latest block. It's on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. Also, my name, Alexander Loris. Google me. Most of my content is on Twitter. So that's a great place if you want to follow me and more actively day-to-day. Otherwise, just go to latestblock.com/subscribe and get a weekly update you can read in 5 minutes or so.
Yeah. Okay, thank you so much for being here, Alexandre. And then we will put the links, the latest blog.com and your Twitter link in the show notes. So I hope the audience can, follow you, check out your blog, subscribe. And thank you so much for sharing your knowledge here.
Thank you so much, Yasi. It's been a pleasure and an honor to chat with you.
Join the Facebook group at Fast Track Podcast 1, or you can find us on Instagram, YouTube, and of course, the homepage, fasttrack.life. See you in the next episode.